Welcome in to the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Jay Randolph Jr. In this podcast, we'll talk about the 120th United States Open champion, Bryson DeChambeau, and also about the 21-year-old runner-up, Matt Wolf, and others that did not make it to the top of the podium. Jay, your initial thoughts overall on the Open. I know you're not a big Bryson DeChambeau fan. Had to be an incredible 4 days for you.
It was fascinating to witness the difficulty of the golf course, and then obviously the way in which Bryson played the golf course and took control of the championship and won it. And, you know, while I do not understand the game he plays, I don't relate to it. As I have said throughout, you know, the process of him evolving, is that the bottom line is he believes in it, and it clearly works for him. And there's a chance that this win will be one of the most significant moments in golf because of so many things that can come out of it that we're going to talk about. But tip of the cap, Bryson with a dominating performance at Wingfoot.
You know, Jay, and I knew you would react that way. You're one of the purists of the game. I mean, your rich history as a competitor and as a golf broadcaster. I mean, golf means a lot more to you than it does the average person. I'm proud to be able to say I'm in your boat also. The one thing that it stood out the most, though, first, you know, after Thursday's round, when he gets the weather forecast that it's going to be cooler on Friday, he hangs around until the temperature falls at Wingfoot down to what it's going to be on Friday. Then he goes to the range to hit his wedges to see how far they're going to go in that temperature. I mean, that kind of attention to detail, to me, is just simply mind-boggling.
You know, it's one of those things that the appearance is pretty clear that he is thinking, working, planning more than anybody right now. And that work clearly has paid off. You could tell how emotional he was in talking about the work and the changes to his body and the swing. And as I said, while I don't understand necessarily angles of attack or relying on a greens book on the greens, I cannot deny that the guy was the best player at the National Open by a lot.
You know, Jay, you just said something that jogged my memory. The angle of attack, his irons all being the same length, his lie angles are far steeper than anybody else's. And if your lie angle is steeper, isn't that a major asset in hitting a golf ball out of the rough?
It can be if you position the club right at impact. I mean, you know, and that's all the things that he's putting together in his mind, as opposed to a guy that gets and goes and gets a set fitted form and says, let's go. You know, not that the regular tour pros aren't tinkering or working or thinking. I'm not saying that, but DeChambeau has taken it to another level. And then the impact that's going to have on the 12 to 15-year-old boys and girls in the country that are playing competitive junior golf at the highest level is apparent. I mean, they're going to, many of them are going to try and implement some of the things that this guy does. Thus, you know, are we seeing that change in the game? How's the USGA and the RNA going to react? I mean, the statistic that stands out more than anything, other than we now have three people that have won an NCAA championship, a U.S. amateur, and a U.S. Open, and those three being Tiger, Jack, and Bryson, is on Saturday at the United States Open at Winged Foot. Matthew Wolf hit 2 of 14 fairways and shot 65. Now, if they went and told that to Sam Snead upstairs, he'd slap the person that came and told him. I mean, that was enough for me to say, whoa, that's not possible. You can not only hit, you can't hit just 2 fairways at Winged Foot and shoot 5 under par, even if you put yourself with good lies in the rough. So I think it's going to be a monumental open, Bob. I really do.
You know, it's kind of strange about Winged Foot. Hit only 2 fairways and manifest that type score, and yet there wasn't a bogey free round in the entire tournament. So, I mean, did Winged Foot do its job and just simply get overpowered, or you know, like you said, it's going to be diagnosed for a long, long time because there are a lot of subplots involved here. So many aspects of Bryson's victory could have been highlighted. I mean, he really grew up in a very poor family. I mean, they had to scrape together, you know, monies just to give him an opportunity to play golf. And at 6 years old, he completely understood algebra. I mean, I have trouble now, the 5 and 5, you know, is it 9 and 11? Oh, no, it's 10. But understanding algebra at age 6? I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, I don't understand it now, so, and I'm 51. So, I mean, I don't disagree with you, Bob. I didn't realize some of the plight that he had when he was younger as it related to money. And like you said, how they scraped together to play munis and go to driving ranges. I mean, that's not the typical story in the world of golf. And, you know, I'm going to use the word that my previous resentment towards him was because probably I didn't understand it or believe in it because I didn't do it. And the people before I played, like Bob, didn't do it. But clearly, if he and others are on this path to hitting at 375, 380, and making accuracy not nearly as important as it once was, there's going to have to either be a change in the golf ball or they're going to have to build new golf courses, which I don't see happening.
You know, we keep getting back to the golf ball, and I think I've had 473 interviews with Jack Nicklaus where he's the leading proponent of rolling back the golf ball. But what pops into my head, Jay, is, okay, they roll back the golf ball, and it goes 30 yards less in distance. So that affects everybody, and Bryson.
How's that going to make Bryson, right. You know, how's that going to make Bryson even with the guy when he was already 30 yards ahead of him?
Right. I mean, the only way they could do it is, Bryson, you have to play this ball, but we'll let everybody else play the regular ball. I mean,
you're playing as a plus 12 and everybody else a plus 8. You're giving everybody 4. No, it's an interesting situation, and I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, and again, we're right off the heels of it, and a lot of it sticks with you. I mean, there was only one guy that broke par. But the way in which he did it is what is somewhat unique, and that's why it makes you think, where are we going? What's the next step? How does the USGA react? Even though, as I said, it wasn't like you had 13, 14 guys under par and birdies left and right. The golf course still held up, and I think it did the job, the premise that you had always heard from the USGA. Not necessarily par being a premium, because I don't like saying that, but the golf course is set up to define the best player that week.
It's tough to rein in athleticism. You know, we're always going to be trying to get stronger, fitter, more athletic. I mean, Tiger inspired this whole generation to do this, and we're going to keep going after it. I don't think it's going to stop. Will they rein it back? I'm sure. I'm sure something might happen, but I don't know what it will be. I just know that length is always going to be an advantage.
Well, it makes a valid point there.
Well, that's to your point, Bob. That's what you're saying. I mean, okay, say the ball is to where these guys can only hit it 270 in theory, but Bryson's hitting it 295 and Justin Rose is hitting it 265. I mean, you know, it's going to be a tough way of going about it. And you know, it's his seventh tour win. It's his first major. It's by far his best finish in his previous major championships. And it comes on the heels of all the work that he's put in and the flash that you saw as it related to majors at the PGA Championship. And it just kind of set up, you know, we could sense it as he started to stay in the mix and figure things out that this might be a magical week for young Bryson.
I did it. And as difficult as this golf course was presented, I played it beautifully. Even when I got in the rough, I was still able to manage my game and hit it to correct sides of the greens, except on 14 today, and kept plugging away. My putting was immaculate today. My speed control, incredible. So many times I relied on science, and it worked every single time. Knowing that I was able to execute for 72 holes in a major championship under the toughest conditions and perform to the highest level. For me, it's about the journey of, can I execute every shot more repeatably than everybody else? And I was able to do that this week, and that's why I won by six. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing and fascinating. Let's play a little more of Bryson.
I'm just trying to figure out this very complex, multivariable game and multidimensional game as well. It's very, very difficult. And so it's just fun. It's a fun journey for me. I hope that inspires people to say, hey, look, maybe there is a different way to do it. And, you know, not everybody has to do it my way. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in general that there are different ways to do things.
No, you can't deny that. There's a lot of ways to skin this cat. That's for sure.
Well, you know, Jay, I was just going to mention in the NFL when the West Coast offense first arrived on the scene, that was a completely different way of doing things. Then it became the norm. Even one closer to home for you and your dad's love of the game of baseball, when somebody devised the shift, that was looked upon as, what the heck is going on? And now it's the norm. I mean, so he's got a valid point along those lines.
Well, when you hear a major championship winner use the term, science really helped me with my putting. I mean, could you imagine John Daly saying that after he won the British Open? And maybe he's not a good example, but Curtis Strange. I mean, it's as I said, if I was a 13-year-old stud junior golfer, I probably would have had a couple of protein shakes on Monday and went to the weight room and picked up a math textbook. I mean, you know, that's what happens in golf. So, and you wonder, Bob, to a sense, what other people thought. Ricky Fowler, who a couple of years ago finished second in a bunch, all of the majors or three of them or whatever it was. Ricky Fowler was 23 shots behind Bryson DeChambeau. What's Ricky Fowler thinking?
I'm just coming to the realization, kind of dawning on me with this weight gain by Bryson DeChambeau. Shouldn't I get some credit for being ahead of the times? You know, I put on weight.
You were a groundbreaker.
Maybe he got inspired by me putting on 40 pounds. I don't really know.
I don't really know either. I mean, that's what I kept saying to myself Sunday night. I don't really know. And that's why, again, you don't want to put too much emphasis on one event. I mean, I think you can do that in a sense with 97 at Augusta and 86 at Augusta and Tiger at Pebble. But it's going to be fascinating when we talk a year from now, Bob, or next June when the U.S. Open is at Torrey Pines, the state of the game, if you will. And let's not, you know, let's not fool ourselves. The guy that finished second at even par may not exactly do the same things that Bryson does, but in a way is playing a similar game with that bomb, find it, hit it, try and get it in the hole. Matthew Wolf.
Absolutely. I mean, you gotta argue that point. As far as me not understanding and you not understanding and 99% of the golf world not understanding what we witnessed last week, there's one other player apparently doesn't understand it either, and that's Rory McIlroy, and this is what he had to say.
I think it's brilliant, but I think he's taking advantage of where the game is at the minute. And look, again, whether that's good or bad or... But it's just the way it is, you know, with the way he approaches it, with the arm lock putting, with everything. It's just where the game's at right now. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. He's just taking advantage of what we have right now.
Yeah, I'm a little confused there, Jay. Help me out. He's mounting a complaint against your arm being locked while you putt.
It is a different way. When he does it sometimes, I get scared to watch it. And as I've seen so many times, it's almost like in certain instances on short putts, he hits it with way too much pace. But I don't exactly know what Rory's talking about. I mentioned Wolf with the tremendous second-place finish. You know, wouldn't it have been something to see Morikawa win the PGA and then Young Wolf win the Open, but second place? Here's what he had to say.
I played pretty well, so I don't think it was nerves that were holding me back. I just think it just wasn't meant to be. It's the U.S. Open, you know. There's a lot of breaks out there that probably could have, you know, a foot or, you know, a couple inches more, and I have a different lie, or, you know, it stays up on a ridge or little things like that that, you know, are 3-4 shots. And, you know, if I'm that much closer to Bryson coming down the stretch, I'm sure he feels a little bit more pressure, but He played really well. I mean, I was just told that there's a lot of people in here saying that what he's doing is pretty exceptional. And I mean, to watch it firsthand was, I mean, I have to agree. I felt like I played really well. And that's the difference out here between, you know, 4 over and 4 under is just those little tiny breaks that I didn't get. I mean, shooting even par for 4 rounds at Wingfoot is pretty exceptional. You know, I played really tough all week. I battled hard. Things just didn't go my way, but first U.S. Open, second place is something to be proud of and hold your head up high for. So I'm just excited to learn from this experience, and it's definitely not the last time that I'm going to be in this spot.
Can you imagine, Jay, a 21-year-old 20 years ago with that kind of performance at the U.S. Open speaking in those terms?
At the end, he said, he said point blank, I'm going to be back here again. I mean, you know, a lot of guys would just be, they wouldn't even know what to say in their first U.S. Open, finishing second, playing in the final group. And he says, yeah, I'm going to be back here again. Different game, different time, different mindset. It's fascinating. Louis Oosthuizen, speaking of fascinating, this guy just seems every couple of years to pop up at a major and get close. He was third, and Harris English with another solid week. He's had a real good 6 weeks. He finishes fourth, and then the always consistent, always on a leaderboard, Xander Schauffele. 4 U.S. Opens he's played in, 4 top 6 finishes. Pretty strong.
Yeah, hats off to Lee Westwood, tied for 13th at 47 years old, finished at +7, but playing in his 84th major, still without that win, but nice performance by Wesley. Certainly one of the real good guys out there. You talked about Ricky Fowler. Well, we didn't talk about some big names that didn't make the cut, Tiger. And then I have to ask you your thoughts on Jordan Spieth.
I think based on what we saw from the winner and the player that finished second and the Colin Morikawas and the John Rahms and the kids that are playing in college and the people that are on the Corn Ferry Tour, Jordan Spieth's going to have a real difficult time getting even close to where he ever was. I don't think it's necessarily any of his fault. You heard Justin Leonard on the Golf Channel broadcast basically say that the game had changed when he was 40 and he could no longer compete. My friend Jay Williamson, who played the tour for a number of years, said that. And I think with what we're seeing, it's going to be very difficult for Jordan even to get back to a high level on the PGA Tour. Mickelson not being able to create any magic that a lot of us wanted. Surprising on Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose, and the defending champion playing with an injury, Gary Woodland, missed the cut. Bob, last place, though, you walked away with 25 if you played all four rounds. Danny Lee said enough. After six putting the 18th green in round three, he'd rather be in a chair on Sunday. Because he WD'd, he got what the rest of the players in the field got, $10,000. And Bob, significant news from the United States Golf Association off the heels of the U.S. Open. Mike Davis, who has been one of the real key people in setting up the golf course, but then transitioned himself to the head of the USGA as their first CEO. He's going to leave the organization, Bob, at the end of 2021 to pursue his lifelong passion of golf course design. Mike's a really good guy and has been instrumental in what the USGA has done, not only with its championships, but with the organization.
I like Mike a lot. He certainly has done a lot of good stuff at the USGA. I'm a little curious with, you know, the parachute that he's going to get upon retiring from the USGA. Is he ever going to land back on Earth, or is that parachute going to be so big that he's just going to be floating? You know, getting back to Danny Lee, it's kind of probably the first time in history he's six putts on the 18th green. Then he WDs due to an injury. I think if he was pressed a little bit on that injury, he might have had to put down bruised ego.
Yeah, I wonder if he'd have just two-putted whether he'd have been okay for Sunday. Well, that's it for our second major of this crazy year. Only one more thing to go. It's the Masters, and it'll be something in November. Something right now is Gateway National. We just started a tee rehabilitation program where we're leveling some of the tees. Golf course has been open since 98, best condition place in the Lou, and trying to get better. And then the best place to stay in Maui is where Bob and Janice stay at the Kapalua Villas. Let's hear about that. And then we'll get Alex Maselli's thoughts. That ought to be interesting. The mouth that roars on Bryson's first major title. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one. To make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at GatewayNational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, GatewayNational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, GatewayNational.com.
Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
We roll on here in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me easily on Twitter at STL Golf Geek, like our man Darren over the pond does. You want to see some of the stuff Bob brings out? He's not quite as active as I am, but we try and push him. You can find Bob at Bob Bubka, VOG, and that VOG, as it should, stands for Voice of Golf. Speaking of one of the voices of golf, Bob caught up with the mouth that roars, Alex Maselli. Let's hear what Alex thought on Bryson and the second major of the year.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Up next in The Grill Room, you've heard him many, many times. His name is Alex Maselli, founder of Morning Read. And Alex, the ramifications of Bryson DeChambeau through your lens, other than, you know, Bryson now being the reigning U.S. Open champion, I think that victory has the potential to have some far-reaching tentacles. Do you feel the same way?
Well, it does have that potential. But, I mean, we kind of have to wait it out a little and kind of see how everything goes. If it's an incremental move, that's one thing. But if this was a giant leap, then there's going to be fallout. And what that fallout will be, I'm not really sure. I mean, we already have had numerous discussions about the ball and length and golf courses and everything else and how we need to make them, you know, more competitive, really, against these players. But at the same time, the people that really control what happens in this game, which is the PGA Tour, and to a lesser extent the European Tour, have no interest in reining anything in. So, you know, we don't know if the Bryson thing is going to be such an anomaly that everybody's going to have to get on the same page, like they have done in the past with square grooves and things like that, anchored putting, or if it's going to be one of those things where we enjoy what we see, meaning the players, meaning the tours, and they're going to like, you know, we're not willing to entertain doing anything different.
Is it an injustice to Bryson that when people talk about him winning the 2020 U.S. Open, they refer to almost exclusively how far he hits the golf ball?
Well, I think so. I think if you looked at the totality of what he did at Wingfoot, yes, he hit the ball far. But his ability to navigate the rough, his ability to his short game was spectacular. I mean, Patrick Reed in the first 2 days had a similar short game to Bryson. And you saw in the third round where Patrick Reed's short game kind of fell away and he fell away. Bryson's short game never fell away. And then, of course, he made putts. He made long putts. He made medium length putts. He made putts that were important. So I think that anybody that sat there and said, well, his length was the reason, certainly it's part of the total package, but it really isn't the whole story. And when you think it is the whole story, I think that just shows you how short-sighted some people are.
It seems like Bryson really doesn't get enough credit for the amount of work that he does. I mean, anybody that thinks he just shows up and he has this, you know, revamp golf game, it's simply not true. I mean, it's hours and hours and weeks and months of hard dedication that got him to the position in Wingfoot that he achieved.
Well, I think the first thing you have to remember is what he's doing currently is completely different than what he was doing before, which means he had to remake his swing. That's the first thing. And even by remaking his swing, there was other things that had to happen. One was the putting. He realized there was a realization that, you know, his putting wasn't what it needed to be. And if it be through equipment, meaning if he had to change shafts or get a thicker shaft or a more stable shaft in the putter, or if it was bigger grips and how he handles the club, you know, with the grips that he's involved with, these larger grips, whatever it may be, that still doesn't mean he doesn't have to take hours and hours of time, not only getting stronger, which is what he's done, but also finding a way to get the club on the path with this new body and this new equipment. And he's had to do all of that. And then I think what's miraculous is that, you know, Jack Nicklaus used to talk about how he would be on the golf course and he could figure out what was wrong and he could probably fix what was wrong during a round. Well, sometimes you can't. Bryson clearly, after the third round at Wingfoot, was having a problem with his driver. He knew what the problem was, and he spent hours on the range after the round working on getting the driver where he needed it to be. And I think you saw the fruits of that labor on Sunday, where he was hitting the ball so much better than Matthew Wolf was. So, you know, I don't think people really get it. But you know what? In Bryson's case, I don't think he cares. He just knows that he wants to be the best he can be. He wants to win as much as he can win. And I think he's showing that. And maybe eventually the people will come on board and understand, you know, how he's gotten there. But even if they don't, I don't think that's going to change Bryson.
I think people would be amazed at how many miles you've traveled to cover this game, not only through the air, but a lot of times in your car and various other methods. Give me a little Alex Maselli feeling on what we're experiencing in the world of golf right now. One week it was John Rahm, and then it was Dustin Johnson, and of course Brooks Koepka out with an injury, but everything was Brooks Koepka. Justin Thomas, I mean, Morikawa. I mean, there seems to be like a new name that can't miss every week until it does miss, and there's a replacement.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could go back to starting the revamp of the season, or the restart of the season at Colonial. There was a lot of discussion about Bryson and his length. There was a lot going on with the other players that you mentioned. But then Bryson wins in Detroit. Now all of a sudden he's the favorite to do all these things. Doesn't really do anything after that. Doesn't play well in the FedEx Cup. In turn, you got Morikawa winning the PGA Championship, as you said. Not that I thought he would be the flavor of the month, but certainly it was a big win and people looked at that. But the ones that I think were more stunning were the Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, John Rahm. And all three of those either won and jumped up to world number one, or won, and then all of a sudden everybody's saying, well, this is the guy that should be the favorite going into, in this particular case, Wingfoot. And no, Bryson was in that list. If you looked at the betting public, he wasn't necessarily in that discussion amongst other people, because Dustin Johnson had such a great run there during the FedEx Cup that you would have thought Dustin Johnson and Wingfoot would have been a perfect match together. In turn, what happens is it's not. And now we're at Bryson DeChambeau, and we're talking about him like we talked about him after winning in Detroit. And the thing is now the lead-in isn't going to be into a FedEx Cup. It's going into another major, which is the Masters. And if there was any place where you thought that Bryson's game would match up well, the current game that he has would match up well for any four of the majors, it would absolutely be Augusta National. So now you got Bryson DeChambeau going into Augusta National with this length. And I think, you know, Rory McIlroy kind of touched on it a little after his round on Sunday. But, I mean, sending Bryson DeChambeau with this game to Augusta National is could be child's play for him comparatively to what the other guys are going to have to do. And we don't know a lot about Augusta National in November, which means we don't really know how it'll play, but we sure as hell know how it's going to play in April. And if Bryson doesn't win in November, again, he's going to be one of the favorites going into April.
Yeah, one of the strange effects of what this schedule has left us with, certainly back-to-back majors, both of them being Masters seems incredible. November and then again in April. Alex, thanks for your insight. Thanks for your time. And I think it's going to be a while before we fully digest the effects of Bryson DeChambeau in the world of professional golf.